Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We began this season of Lent with Jesus' refusal to eat bread or any food at all for 40 days. With Jesus refusing to fill his own stomach at the urging of the devil for him to change the stones into bread. He refused to make food for himself because it was his Father's will for him to suffer hunger in order to be tested. Would he be obedient or disobedient? Would he be God-reliant or self-reliant? Would he be God-serving or self-serving? And he proved to be obedient and God-reliant and God-serving. In today's gospel, we see how easy it would have been for Jesus to have provided food for himself as he takes those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, enough for 1 or 2 people and for 5 or 10 people even, but provides enough for over 5,000. 5,000 men plus women and children. He could have done the same for himself, but then it wasn't God's will for him to eat, for him to not suffer hunger. It was, on this occasion, God's will for those 5,000 to eat, and yet not just so their stomachs could be filled, not just for Jesus to do a nice thing for those crowds. It was something much more that Jesus wanted to teach, something much greater. That Jesus is God, from whom all good things come. That human beings have a great spiritual need before God, but that human strength is unable to do anything about it. That if we are to be saved, God must do it. And he must do it. And he will do it through Christ alone, without human works, without human contribution. That's what Jesus would have you learn through the feeding of the 5,000. Or you can be like the 5,000 who ate and at the end of the day still thought it was about nothing else but getting a nice free meal from Jesus. The crowds had followed Jesus out to the far side of the Sea of Galilee because, John says, they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Already we see that this group of people, this multitude, was infatuated with not Jesus' teaching, but Jesus' miracles. It was amazing. It was spectacular, the things he was doing. That's why they followed him. He was doing these wonders that no one had ever done. And as we learn later in this account, and then again on the next day, as John continues in his gospel, the people that Jesus fed that day were never really interested in his teaching. They were interested in seeing a show, in seeing a spectacle. Still, Jesus tries to teach them and plans this friendly miracle for them to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You remember, Jesus quoted those words from the Old Testament to the devil when the devil tried to tempt Jesus with food. Now Jesus would have the crowds learn the lesson that Moses once taught to the Israelites. Because even though God provided food for Israel every day in the wilderness, provided that manna that came down from heaven, the lesson was, okay, that's out of the way now, your physical need for food. Now you can pay attention to what's really important. Jesus asks Philip, one of the 12, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And John tells us that Jesus already had a plan and was just testing Philip and the other disciples with that question. And Philip answered correctly, for the most part, that money is not the answer. No amount of money will allow us to feed all of these people. There's too many. There is no human solution to this problem of feeding the multitudes. Philip might have added just a bit more, though, because as he left it, it seems like if there is no human solution to the problem, then there is no solution to the problem. If human powers and human reason can't provide what these people need, then no one can. Then Andrew comes along, another one of the 12, and seems also to be determined to find a human solution to this problem. He has found a boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in his basket. Well, it's something, but still clearly not enough to feed all those people. So Jesus will teach his disciples to look beyond what their human reason and their human powers can provide. He has the people sit down in groups on the grass. He takes the loaves and the fish, gives thanks, and then distributes the food to his disciples so that they can distribute it to all the people. But just that little act of Jesus giving thanks for this food seems like a small thing. It's something that we try to do before every meal that we celebrate. But notice, Jesus, when he gives thanks, is acknowledging his Father as the provider of the food that man needs to live. He's giving thanks out loud, obviously, so that his disciples should recognize that too. And he's giving thanks. He's not asking his Father for permission or power to do a miracle. He doesn't need to. He knows his Father's will. It is the Father who wills to provide for these people. And it is the Son of God, as always, who carries out his Father's will. And then the way Jesus hands out the food to the people also seems like a small thing, as he sends his disciples to be the ones who would actually hand out the food one by one. But don't miss the reminder here, as the scriptures are all united this way. Doesn't it remind you of something, how Jesus hands out the bread to his disciples to hand it out to the people? Isn't it exactly the same way Jesus has set up his holy sacrament, where he provides more than just bread and wine? He gives his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. His body and blood are miraculously multiplied so that everyone who eats and drinks in the sacrament anywhere in the world at any time is still receiving his body and blood. And yet, he doesn't hand it out here at the altar or here at the rails directly to anyone, but has appointed his disciples, his ministers, to be the ones to hand it out to the people. Now, the multitudes eat as much as they want, and there are still 12 baskets full left over. Of course, that's impossible. At least human reason and the laws of nature say it's impossible. Matter cannot be created out of nothing. Sir Isaac Newton says that's impossible, although he wouldn't deny the miracle that Jesus did, because that's exactly how God brought the universe into existence, out of nothing. God made everything. This was the creative power of God that Jesus was displaying again with this miracle. And just as God didn't take millions of years to evolve some loaves of bread and a few fish for those people, but Jesus spoke and it was, so God didn't have the universe evolve itself over millions of years, but God spoke and it came into existence immediately. That's power. That's also love and care for His creation. And more importantly, that's a sign. A sign that teaches something, a sign that points to something greater. It points to Jesus' own divinity. But even more than that, it points to Jesus as the Savior, as the one and the only one who can give the heavenly gifts of forgiveness of sins, life and salvation to men who can't earn any of it by being good, by doing good, by being obedient enough. If we are to be saved, God must do it. And He will do it freely because of His mercy through Jesus alone, without human works and without human contribution. That's really the same thing that Paul was reteaching to the Galatians in the epistle you heard today, because he had taught that as of primary importance when he first visited the Galatians, but they were giving in again to the law and starting to believe those who were telling them that faith in Christ wasn't enough to be saved. They had to obey the laws of the Old Testament too. And so he reminds them that even the Old Testament, the Scriptures, the law, taught salvation only through Christ, only by faith. Not salvation for those who tried to work for it. So he taught about that example of Hagar and Sarah and their children, Ishmael and Isaac, and Mount Sinai and the Jerusalem that now is and the Jerusalem that is above, all signs, symbols pointing to the truth that salvation is by the promise of God, by the gift of God, by the free mercy of God, giving away bread, giving away salvation through Christ and no one else, not something to be worked for, not something that you can be good enough for or have done enough for. The 5,000 who ate the bread and the fish that Jesus gave away as a gift went away thinking that it was just about eating bread and eating fish. John tells us that all they wanted at the end of the day was to lay their hands on Jesus, take Him by force, make Him be their king, so that He could keep giving them bread, so that He could keep doing wonders to astound them and entertain them, so that He could set up a glorious kingdom for them to live in, with Him as their glorious king. What a wonderful life that would be. But they didn't want Him for a teacher. They didn't want Him for their God. They didn't want Him for a savior from sin. Now, this gospel is God's way of reaching out to sinners and showing them His grace in the person of Christ. It's great comfort for the sinner who knows his neediness before God. It's all been taken care of by Christ. And forgiveness and life and salvation will continually be handed out through His ministers to all who seek them from Jesus. That's good news. There's a warning in this gospel for the fickle followers of Christ, for those who follow Jesus for something other than free grace and salvation from sin. There are many who think of Christianity as primarily a social service organization. They think the church exists to provide food and clothing and services to the community. And they'll even praise Christian churches for their community programs and the fun activities they offer, if they offer them. But the same people reject Jesus as the Son of God. They don't want to be taught by Him or to be bound by His word. They don't want his church telling them what's right and what's wrong. And they don't want his sacrifice and his works of obedience to count for them before God. If you're following Jesus in this Lenten season or in your daily life for earthly blessings, for earthly comfort, or for earthly success, then you will be not only disappointed, but put to shame on the last day. Jesus has come to give you the bread of life, to give you himself for a Savior and for your God. Listen to his words. Devote yourself to his teaching and believe in him as the bread of life, who will give everlasting life free of charge to all who believe in him and look to him for help and salvation. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.